In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. From time to time, as Orthodox Christians, we'll hear this idea about something called the rapture, or about the apocalypse, or the end of the world. And I think we mostly hear it about the time of Western Easter every year. And oddly enough, we don't hear it very often during the time of Orthodox Pascha. But around that time of year, sometimes Christianity gets a lot of attention. And there's a lot of fascination with the end times and with the afterlife. If you turn on the radio, you'll hear ministers preaching about it, and you may even hear the media make reference to it. And sometimes there may even be a prediction made regarding a specific date that the world will come to an end. But each time those predictions, as we know, are always proven wrong. In any case, these ideas of rapture and of the apocalypse are really theories that began to be discussed as late as the 19th century. And they're really foreign ideas to Orthodox Christianity. Why? Because first of all, in Scripture, it says that no one knows the hour or the day, or the time that Christ will return. It's non-predictable. Not even the angels in heaven, it says in the Bible, know. Nor does Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus says in the scripture that of that day and of that hour, only God the Father in heaven knows. And secondly, because these things are really more of a distraction than they are of a truth. And the only one who really ever benefits from us being distracted is Satan himself. There's nothing more in this life that he wants other than for us to be distracted. So as Orthodox Christians, even though we do believe in the afterlife, we don't pretend to predict it. And we especially would never use our own individual biblical interpretation of any book in the Bible to justify a theory that's foreign to the doctrines of the church. These are distractions. And they're distractions that could keep us from our focus. But we do believe in the second coming. Because Jesus promised to return to us one day in all of his glory. And we should be prepared for that second coming. Because in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew, Jesus taught us about the importance of being prepared for that day when he will come again. However, what we don't do is we don't pretend to know what that event will look like or when that event will occur in history. But as Orthodox Christians, we do have some understanding of what the afterlife looks like. And that understanding comes from Jesus Christ himself and from nowhere else. And we heard about it in the parable that was read to us this morning in the gospel lesson. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus is the clearest description of the afterlife for us, found anywhere in Scripture. And if you remember, it was a long gospel, but it said that there was a rich man who liked to dress in very nice clothes and who apparently lived in a very beautiful gated house and who ate the very best of food. And that at the gate of this rich man's house, there was a poor man, and his name was Lazarus. And he was laying there every single day at the gate of that rich man's house, and it says that his body was covered completely with sores because he had nobody to take care of him. And it says that his only desire was to be fed with the crumbs that might have fallen from the rich man's table. But what's most important about this gospel lesson is that it says he was never acknowledged by the rich man, not even one time. He went his entire life and he didn't even know the guy was there. Then the gospel says that Lazarus died. And it says that he was carried up to heaven by the angels to a place called the bosom of Abraham. Or in other words, a place that we refer to as paradise. And then it says that the rich man also died. And it said that instead of being carried up into a heavenly place, a peaceful place, by the angels, like Lazarus had been taken, the gospel simply says that this man died and was buried. And then it says that he found himself in a place called Hades, and that he was living there in torment and suffering. But that from where he was, it says that he could lift up his eyes and he could see Abraham and he could see Lazarus laying in his arms. And it says that this man was in agony and that he cried out to Abraham and asked that Lazarus be sent to him to relieve him of his agony by simply dipping his finger in a little bit of water and just sprinkling his tongue with it. But in response, it says that Abraham said to that rich man, "Remember, sir, in your lifetime, when you were living, you had all your good things, and Lazarus had nothing. But now Lazarus is well cared for, and you are in great pain." And Abraham continued to say to that rich man, "Besides that, I can't help you, because there's a deep trench between us and you. A trench that no one can cross over from either side. It's impossible." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this gospel of the rich man and Lazarus is the real description of the afterlife. Anything else is merely a distraction from the truth. Because in this life, if we are waiting for some visible or predictable sign of the Lord's second coming, and if we're counting on some particular time in the future that the event will occur, then it becomes easy for us to put off our preparation for that event and not worry about it until later. Because for some reason in our society as human beings, it's easy for us to put off today what can be done tomorrow. And according to the gospel lesson this morning, that's a dangerous proposition. Because scripture is clear. That way of reasoning, waiting and trying to predict, can and will be absolutely detrimental to our goal of wanting to be united with God eternally in His heavenly kingdom. The Bible does say that all men will die, and we know that to be true, and that all men will face judgment. and that it's Christ Himself who will be our judge. So in other words, it's the life of Jesus Christ that will be the standard against which all of our lives will be measured. Because it was Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who took on our humanity upon Himself and lived a perfect human life. And He left for us an example of how we are to live here in this world. And that's what's recorded in the pages of the New Testament. And so this was the rich man's mistake. He forgot who he was. And because of that, he was caught off guard. His sin wasn't that he was rich. No, he was blessed. And the gospel doesn't say that he was an evil person, or even that he was cruel, or that he was insensitive towards Lazarus in this life. It doesn't say that. His sin was simply that he was distracted in this life. And because he was distracted, whatever that distraction may have been, he completely ignored that man, Lazarus, a man who was placed directly in front of him at the gates of his house. The rich man's sin was that he was negligent. Negligent in his responsibility to open his heart towards helping the welfare of another human being. Negligent in fulfilling his duty and his calling as one of God's children. And it was only after his death that he realized the error of his ways. At a time that the spiritual reality of God's presence of love in his life revealed itself not in the form of joy or in the form of peace or in the form of eternal comfort, but at a time when God's love revealed itself to that rich man as condemnation and as torment and as suffering and as separation from everything that he thought he wanted in this life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is a gospel about preparation. It's a warning sign for us, given by Jesus himself, to avoid the sin of distraction and to avoid the sin of procrastination. Whether it's something that distracts us because of our work, or whether it's something that distracts us because of our wealth, or whether it's something that distracts us regarding the materialism that we can achieve here in this world, or whether it's the distraction of a huge one right now, social media, or any other distraction. If we allow ourselves to become complacent in this life and allow anything to distract us from our true calling as living as icons of Jesus Christ in this world, then we run the risk of having God's eternal love reveal itself in a way that we may not expect in the afterlife. Because as the 7th century monk St. Isaac the Syrian, he once said that God's love is offered to everyone impartially, in this life and in the afterlife. The difference is that God's love reveals itself to those who are faithful here on earth as pure joy and heavenly bliss. But to the unfaithful here in this world, It's revealed as torment and as the very fire of hell, is what Saint Isaac the Syrian says. So as we reflect on this parable, this gospel lesson of the rich man and Lazarus today and throughout the week, may the one thing that distracts us in this life always and only be the love that God has for us and the love that we have for God. And especially the love that we have for our neighbor. May it be these things, and only these things, that are the source of our soul distraction as we struggle to live our lives in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.